Blog Talk Radio.
Network, and we're doing a Tuesday special. We're actually moving to Tuesdays. Let's just call a spade a spade. We are moving off Thursdays. We are from now until through the summer, we will be on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock. We're moving back to our old slot. Why? Because my co-host he runs the schedule. He really does. He tells me when we're going to air. It may say on the masthead, Rattledge in Broadcasting. It really should say Koopa runs this house. Whose house? Koopa's house. Because he tells me when we're going to do a show. We go by his schedule and his schedule alone, really. You know, I just pick the albums. It's a fair trade, I think. Anyway, here's the boss himself, Mr. Robert Koopa for Koopa's Choice, Destroy a 666 Wildfire. How you doing, Mr. Koopa, sir?
Well, you see, we would all like to think that I'm at the top of the mountain and I'm the one pulling the strings, but in fact, that is a fallacy, my friend. The person that's really pulling the strings, the person that's personified as a giant entity with a red vest is called Boat. Because they've scheduled me 5 days a week now. Last week I worked 42 hours. I wasn't scheduled for anything close to that. So, the only days they give me off are Monday for class, and Tuesday for teaching, and that's it. Wednesday is like, what? You got to teach kids, you know, in the morning? Good luck getting home at 8 in the morning.
I'm actually not going to complain because we originally moved off of Tuesdays because I was going to start doing a current affairs show with Gavin and Chris from the Casual Heroes. And, you know, we did about 10 episodes or so. Then I ended up getting a new job back in 2014 and my schedule changed. So we had already moved Tuesday to Thursdays to accommodate the new show. Then, like I said, my schedule ended up changing and we stopped doing that show and it was dark out and there were wolves after us. It doesn't really matter. But we stayed on Thursdays, alternating with the Long Road to Ruin, and just because, you know, I liked having the extra days in the beginning of the week to sort of work on things and, you know, if I was behind on stuff, be able to watch movies, whatever. It was a little bit easier to do Long Road to Ruin on Thursday than it was Tuesday for me. The Metal Hammer of Doom, however, I have enough time to listen to music that I don't have to push this off. So when Robert Koopa said, listen, bub, you need to accommodate me. We need to go back to Tuesdays. I was actually very much okay with that because that also meant we could go at 9 o'clock instead of waiting until 10:30, where I'm more likely to fall asleep. So, welcome to the rebirth of the Metal Hammer of Doom. This time marks a week.
Welcome to the Metal Hammer of Doom. Same old place, old time, old channel.
Right. But like I said, this time you're, you know, 9 o'clock, I'm still raring to go. I still got energy. By 10:30, 11 o'clock, I'm getting, you know, the Sandman has punched me in the face and drunk his beer. All right, nobody came in.
We all know, especially when Typo Negative comes on, you're like, all right, nap time.
Still one of our most downloaded shows. Doesn't matter. People pay to hear me sleep. All right. So we're starting. This was originally just supposed to be a Tuesday special to accommodate Mr. Cooper's choice, but it's really become the launch of our Tuesday rebranding. Go ahead, Coop. You wanted to do Destroyer 666. It actually came out the same weekend, I believe, as Anthrax, For All Kings. You demanded it. We're here doing it. What's it all about, sir?
Well, it is almost like the Hokey Pokey, but not quite. Destroyer 666 is a band that I've really been into and admired for a good number of years now. Just like a lot of the more, less mainstream bands that I listen to, I discovered this band through Dan Haggerty's Mosh Pit column on 411mania.com. May it forever rest in peace. Or rest in peace, however you want to do. But he was doing his retrospective of metal through every year from like 1972. I think he stopped on 98, if I'm not mistaken. But in the 98 show, he highlighted an album that I had never heard of by a band with a name so cool, an album cover that I was like, all right, fuck yeah, I'm going to listen to this. It was Destroyer 666, Unchain the Wolves. And if you've never seen that cover, it's just like, you know, just a snowy forest scape with a snarling white wolf getting ready to rip the fucking throat out. And I was sold. So I listened to the title track off of that and fell in love with it because it was black thrash. And the only thing I love more than black thrash is attractive women telling me I'm pretty. So I got into them, and then I actually got my best buddy, Nick, into them. And he downloaded their entire discography off the interwebs, and then he shared that with me, and I got more into them. And now, almost 7 years since their last album, here we are, sitting with no pants, talking about Destroyer 666.
All right. I have zero to add to that, other than I was happy to do it. Let me talk a little bit about how things are going with Apple Music. I can say that much, because around the time that Anthrax came out, actually that weekend, because it wasn't on Spotify, and it may still not be, who the hell knows, I signed up for the free trial of Apple Music, and Apple Music, you know, as most of these sites do, programs do, you know, they have a new music feature. And what I really like about the Apple Music one is that it actually has one strictly for metal. So I can just go right in the line, and it just puts them right there out by release date. So I think like one day I was home cleaning the house. I was home with my son, and I just like in a row listened to everything that had come out that weekend. I was like, oh, this is a pretty cool feature. Today, before I had an interruption, I actually listened to an album called Lords of Black. What's the one that I sent you that I was like, this is the jam? Is it Lords of Black?
Oh, yeah. I think it was Lords of Black.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, listen, I didn't know what the hell that was. It looked like, you know, it looked like somebody done run off a type of negative gimmick. it was really good, though. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a great way for me to be able to expand my horizons and listen to new stuff. It's not costing me anything. I'm right there. I'm right on the bandwagon there, folks. You know, people have been doing this for how many years now? But going back to the weekend that new Anthrax album came out, this was one of those albums. And like I said, I listened to a whole bunch right in a row, and I actually came across this one. And I remember thinking I really liked it. it wasn't what I thought to review per se, but there was definitely one that I thought, you know, this is one to keep my energy level up and, you know, keep me motivated to do what I'm doing. So, yeah, it's a good album overall. I'm really excited to break it down and talk about it. So, are you ready for our first track?
Sure thing. I'm still waiting for track 5 to download. So, we got a few minutes. Yeah, why not?
So, all right.
First track off the album, pretty well titled, I think. Starting off the album is not a self-titled track like you would think. No, in fact, it is a song called Traitor. This is exactly what I had hoped for. I listened to this album. I actually listened to this album for the first time at work. Yeah, when they called me out to the straw trailer, I walked around the building and threw on Destroyer 666 for all the listening public. Because, you know, nothing really goes better in the Bible Belt than slight bits of blasphemy. You know, that's how you really make friends. But this song is exactly what I'd hoped for. It was just pedal to the metal, black screams, and guitar solos galore. But I will say something that I found really interesting was actually the, it was still clean vocals, but that kind of almost King Diamond-like shriek at the beginning. I was like, huh, didn't see that coming. Cool.
Yeah, I like it. As the song, as we get into the album a little bit more, there's more I like about it. This one kind of struck me. It's okay. It was a good first start.
Yeah. One thing that's very interesting about it in terms of the structure is that the first word of some of these verses is actually ends the statement from the previous one. Like, for example, tearing... Pray free of this world, I will hunt. Okay, that's a finished one. Then burn, tearing the iron, clawing and breaking the walls and the bars of the cage. You trapped me, but I did escape. And that's just something I just think is really cool and different. You don't often see that. And they really put that nice punch in with those beginning phrases because they're very much kind of staccatoed away from everything else. They have a nice little punch to them. So when you're listening, it really hits you when you're just listening in. You're like, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, shit. All right. It's different.
All right. Let's move on to track 2. I'll go ahead and introduce it. This is Live and Burn. We'll be right back. that old school thrash. There is where, you know, I started to get that feel that, oh, this is, you know, this is sort of a modern take on an old style. You know, because you have those growly vocals, which this song, they slid slightly away from death metal, and it was more of that, you know, Propane. You know the band I'm talking about, Propane?
You know, I've seen a gajillion of their albums at a used bookstore I come around, but I've never listened to them.
All right, like old school New York hardcore, that kind of clean, but do you know what I mean when I say a clean growl? Like, I'm not talking about a death metal growl, you know, like Cookie Monster. More of, like, somebody who you can understand their vocals, but they do need to clear their throat.
I know what you're saying. Something that's not not really growly or gargly. It's just more like a really deep, I would say, a good example would be probably maybe Randy Blythe from Lamb of God. Would you say he's a good one?
Yeah, I was also thinking sort of Neil Fallon at times. You know, Neil Fallon can sing in a very, you know, in a baritone, but he, you know, but also there's, when he's screaming, it has that gravelly sound to it. You know, where he's gargling with razor blades. You can understand everything that he's saying, but it definitely sounds like, you know, it has a harsh sound to it. So where I'm going with this is the vocals on that track slid more into that vein, and they kept, you know, and they still had an old school thrash beat to it. So I really like that song.
Yeah, I would definitely say that that the song really does harken back to a lot of older thrash, and perhaps it does it does debunk my theory that maybe thrash metal as a whole is something that's more of a forgotten in terms of the big leagues. But yeah, it's I think it's a really good song. It lyrically, there's not a whole lot to it. So I think that's also another thing that almost lends itself to that that theory that we were stating. Because, you know, some songs, like, for example, like Wake Up Dead by Megadeth, tells a nice little story, but really it's all about the music. And that's what this song was about for me. This song is just like 100% about the just about fucking shredding and headbanging, and it was really awesome. Really fun song.
Music for the people.
Hmm?
I said, music for the people.
Yeah.
it's a drop that I heard somewhere. It just stays in my head, and I just like to say it out loud every once in a while. Do we both have colds, by the way? You have a cold?
Yeah. No.
Good. Enjoy the lovely sounds of both thrash metal and me and Robert Cooper hacking up a lung throughout this podcast. It'll be great.
Yeah. Oh, I was hacking earlier today because nothing really does a body good like working in 39-degree weather while it's pouring.
I was sick over the weekend. I actually, like, normally, you know, like, I get the sniffles, whatever, I don't really care, or I have, like, my allergies have gotten worse since I've gotten older and gotten heavier. I think that they sort of go hand in hand is the issue, from what I've read. So you're, like, more, like, the heavier you get, you're more susceptible to, you know, allergy outbreaks, that sort of thing. So I, you know, I work these long hours, and we've had some really bad like pollen outbreaks lately. So I have to, so I feel like since January I've just had one issue after another, you know, with just snot and post nasal drip and everything else. And I have a horrible gag reflex on top of everything else. So, you know, I've had some real great incidents of late, and I just got over. But I don't get like so sick that I'm incapacitated. Well, this weekend I was. I got knocked on my ass. I had like 102 fever, and I'm just now getting over all that. I my temperature returned to normal, I think, Sunday. And yesterday I took it easy, so today I was kind of up and around doing stuff. But the pollen's still bad. So every once in a while, you know, like I got to get like soda or something, or I start choking to death.
So it just really sounds like that your weekend was just a penis in the anus.
Okay. Good banter there, Cooper. Let's move on to track three. This is Artiglio del Diavolo. Instrumental, eh?
That it is.
We're just going to move on then to my favorite song on this album. This right here is the tits, it's the pants, it's bananas, it's the whole nine yards, it's the whole reason I'm not just kind of silently listening to Cooper talk about this album. This is the one that got me excited. This is the jam. This is Hounds at Your Back.
Thank you.
I think if I could be given a job in a movie, in the movie industry right now, it would be like picking out songs for movies, you know, for their soundtrack or whatever. So, you know, not necessarily like scoring them because I have no musical talent, but I'm saying more like, hey, we need music. Go pick songs for this. And I know it doesn't really work that way, but because that song needs to be in a movie. That's all I'm saying. Like I need to put Hounds at Your Back in some sort of action flick.
John Wick 2 it is.
What was that?
I said yes, John Wick 2 it is. That's exactly what that needs.
We'll throw it in with the new Justice League. It'll be fine.
Yes. Yeah, maybe we'll make a third Punisher movie just for you to put a soundtrack to it. There we go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Punisher 3, all Warzone-ier.
Yeah. Oh, no. I hope they cross it over the weekend at Bernie's.
All right. So what
do you want? The fucking Punisher and Weekend at Bernie's is so fucking funny.
he's a
drug kingpin. That would be the best. Sign me up for it. But for this song, actually, as it started, I really felt like this felt like Seasons in the Abyss. I think it was somewhere between that and maybe actually I'll say God Hates Us All era Slayer. It has that sort of dampened opening that's more melodic and melancholy to it before it picks up and just goes absolutely batshit insane. And that's what I really feel like sells the song.
It was a different song. It's funny you mentioned that because on this I'm like, fuck up. Did he fuck up and not tattle these right? Jesus Christ. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what are the lyrics of this? Let me make sure this is the right one. Because I don't think this is. And then it started to speed up. And I'm like, oh, right. It takes a while to get to the good part.
I felt like it did a pretty decent job of. I thought the beginning was a good part, too.
Okay, when I say the good part, I mean, it takes a little while to get ramped up. Because like when it finally hits that chorus, I'm like, oh, that's badass. But it's a big buildup to get to that point, you know, and then it just keeps it going that way. That's not to say the first part of the song is bad. Like I said, it just takes its sweet time getting to the ramped up part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that one. It speeds up at the right time, right before that slower part kind of overstays its welcome. I feel like it really punches in that speed right when you need it to wake you up, just to get you out of the lull that the more melodic section hit. And it's a wonderful song. I greatly enjoy it. I feel like it's well done.
Hey, has Mayhem been in the news this past week?
Mayhem?
Mayhem.
I don't think so.
Let me explain why I'm saying this to you. I have a coworker, and she's an elder gal, really listening to metal, but she keeps talking to me about how she doesn't understand why the people in Norway are so sad, you know, especially when they have all this free stuff that they get from the government. They should, you know, the happiness index, you know, is supposed to be through the roof. So why are these people from Norway creating such awful, hateful music? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I listen to a lot of the stuff that comes out of Norway, and it's not all of it's really even angry. It's a lot of it's, you know, progressive, you know, a lot of it's, you know, fantastic, you know, in the fantasy sense. You know, that whole area of Europe produces some of the best music in metal today. So what the hell are you talking about? And she was like, well, there's this new band, Mayhem. I'm like, wait a minute. Slow down, sister. And she's like, oh, you know, they did all this violence. And I'm like, they did? That is true. Mayhem were involved in some vicious murders. However, that was one band, and that was, what, 20 years ago now?
Yeah, that was 93, I want to say. Let's find out here. Wow. No, they have not been in the news, but that is absolutely wonderful. That somebody, some older woman, is just like, we got to stop this Hitler guy. like that is exactly
damn,
how
he's going to ruin
yeah,
Italy.
It's just like what runs out the door. You know, I really feel like we're in some trouble here, guys. Like, what the fuck? That's wonderful. Yeah, this was actually 1991. So actually, this event is older than me.
Okay, I'm going to play another song here, and I think both of us should just double check to make sure Mayhem hasn't committed any new murders, because this didn't just happen once. Over the course of, I was supposed to work Sunday, but I worked Friday and Saturday, and I would hear her just go, I just don't understand. Norway seems like such a nice place. Why are they committing all these murders? And I'm like, it's one hand, and you're talking about a 20-year-old murder.
I love it. By the way, if you give me, how long does it take for a song to process, by the way? On a Blog Talk. Side note.
Depends. I mean, we've been doing this show for a few years now, and that, you know, and almost every show I upload an extra song while we're talking. I mean, it's usually a minute or two.
Okay, because it literally just finished downloading Deathblow. So if you want to, I guess we could play that one after what I have listed as track 5.
I can play it whenever it gets uploaded. In the meantime, we're gonna play Hymn to Dionysus, folks. While Robin Cooper and I get on the case, see if Mayhem has been up to any mayhem. Broadcasting Network, Mayhem has not been up to anything. There's nothing in the news about Mayhem except for they're doing some sort of Swedish death metal festival. So, good news. While Brussels may have been attacked today, you can definitely count Mayhem out as they are not one of the conspirators. So, that's good. This has been a Rattlesnake Broadcasting Bulletin.
Well, I think really if they were in on this, we've had a lot more burning churches, so yeah. Not to mention Varg is in France. I remember one of the last stories I really followed on the Hammer of Doom News report was the saga of Varg Vikernes and his anti-nationalistic pro-gun stances. And he kept, I think he got arrested once, and like child, whatever the French Child Protective Services showed up, and it just ended up being a whole bunch of bullshit. I'm like, you know, Varg seems like a total asshole, but I don't think he's hurting anybody. Well, now. I mean, we'll never forget that wonderful image of
Beck, please. Go on.
I think we'll never forget that image of the Varg in the courtroom, and I think 92 or 93, him just smiling during it. I'm like, Jesus H. Christ, this guy's a psychopath. And then he did something almost as bad as murdering somebody, and that was the Burzum albums that he released in jail. Did you ever hear those? Oh, God.
No.
They were using a MIDI, like, you know, like the MIDI sound files from, like, NES games. Yeah, he was using the that MIDI chip version on a fucking piano. And it just sounded like absolute ass. God. It was like some ambient neo-folk shit. Oh.
Ambient neo-folk shit. I once saw ambient neo-folk shit open up for Typo Negative in 1996.
Yeah, you know, they really sound like a good old New York hardcore band.
That's a joke that my friend and I have been doing for years. And I haven't done it in a while. I don't really talk music with anybody except maybe you. You know, like the wrestling guys I talk to, none of them are really into metal. So it's like, I don't have anyone to talk metal with, you know, and then I can only go so, I only get so far with my wife with this stuff. So I don't really have an opportunity to do that joke many times, but I was talking about the differences between Man of Steel and Superman 2. And I said, you know what Man of Steel doesn't have? Magic amnesia kisses. And my friend writes back to me, well, I thought this could be, I once saw Magic amnesia kisses over to Typo Negative in 1996.
That is wonderful.
All right, let's move right along here to the forgotten track. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Apparently, one of Burzum's bullshit ambient neo-folk albums was like, okay, yay, because the other one I listened to was just, it sounded like somebody put their butt cheeks on a piano and was like, all right, time to get going.
I'm going to play this piano with my ass.
Let's see where it goes, boys.
See where the melody takes us. I can park the Star Spangled Banner. Let's get going here.
You know, beans are the musical fruit.
They really are. The more you eat, the more you fought. All right. Death Blow. Here we go. Some studio's answer to Deadpool.
Was that a 90s comic, or am I thinking of Bloodshot?
I don't know.
I think I'm
pretty I'm pretty sure there's a comic book character. You know what? Let's look it up. Because I guarantee there's some comic book character named Deathblow.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yep. Deathblow is a fictional character in the Wildstorm universe. He appeared in Darker Image number 1, which was created in March of 1993 by Jim Lee and Brandon Choi. Oh.
Okay.
You know, I knew something with a name like Deathblow had to come out of the 90s. Like,
you know, one day we should play a game called Comic Book Character or Death Metal Band.
That would be wonderful. Yep, I think we need to do that sometime. That would be absolutely wonderful. And then we could have a few trick questions where it's like, ha-ha, it's both.
They really do kind of just circle the same drain, don't they?
Yeah, and then you could just mess with them by having that, I think it was like an 80s rock band called Angel. There you go. They could be like, oh, wait, is this a comic book character? I don't know.
Now it makes me wonder if there's some, you know, if there's some comic book character out there. Striper. Jekyll with a Y.
Oh, God.
If there isn't, there needs to be. Someone needs to create a comic book character, call him Jekyll with a Y, and have him throw chainsaws at people.
Yes.
Metal, completely electric chainsaws. And I don't mean like, you know, like runs on electricity. I mean made of electricity. You know, kind of like, I don't know if this is, you might have been too young for this. You might not have even been born, considering, you know, your age and all. But do you remember the old Dungeons & Dragons cartoon, like Saturday morning cartoon, where they all had weapons, but their weapons were like energy weapons? So, like, it's a Dungeons & Dragons troop, you know, a warrior, an elf, an archer, that sort of shit. They had magical energy weapons.
Yeah, I remember that. I think I watched like 2 episodes of it and was like, this isn't the Dungeons and Dragons I remember playing.
So the archer had a magic bow. When he pulled back a string, an energy arrow would appear. And that's what I'm thinking about for this chainsaw guy, right? So our jackal with a Y reaches into his magic bag of holding and throws, you know, and can throw an infinite amount of energy chainsaws at people.
Huh. I think we need more of that in our lives.
You need what?
I said, I think we need more of that in our lives.
I agree. All right. Let's get to our title track here as we wind down this album, which was definitely short and to the point. This is Wildfire. Album tonight, and I remember this one really jumped out at me.
Yeah, it's one that's definitely stuck in my head, because I just find myself screaming Wildfire, because it's got that real catchiness that comes with a lot of good thrash.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't get like a death metal sense from that song either. That just seemed like pure you know, pure hardcore 80s angry thrash metal. You could set that up against Overkill 1988, and I don't think you would notice a difference.
I think the guitar has a little more of that the black distortion to it, but otherwise it's pretty much in line with most thrash. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to track 7 here. This is White Line Fever. Talking about the songs we got back. So that last one there, White Line Fever, one thing it definitely said to me as I was listening to the song was it one of my issues with thrash, especially from the 80s, is the high-pitched singing on some of the bands. And even today, like Toxic Holocaust and some of these other ones where you've got that shrill, high-pitched tenor in some of the singers' voices, which isn't very pleasant to my ears. So this really does take like the best parts of music for me, you know, which is thrash, but mixes them with a more manly sounding vocals. And that White Line Fever pretty much is, it would be like the dictionary definition of what I think thrash sound like.
I love Toxic Holocaust.
Whatevs. Yeah, I think it's shrill. So there.
I don't think it's shrill. I just think it's fucking awesome. I love Toxic Holocaust. Anywho, this is almost the second best song about cocaine in metal history behind Snowblind by Black Sabbath. You know that song where the live version, Ozzy always screams, cocaine, because it's like, oh. All right. You know, that was still one of the greatest triumphs of 13 was the fact they moved Ozzy's, they turned Ozzy's vocal vocal just tendencies that he does live to try to fill space and just turned it into a damn song. Wonderful. But anyways, back to White Line Fever. Pretty fucking awesome song. It's just friggin' pedal to the metal, balls to the wall. And it really speaks to a lot of the themes of some of the thrash, the drugs, the booze, the violence, the boobs, all the boobs. There you go. It's a song to bring the kids. Bring the kids to.
All right. Let's move this along here. We have two more tracks left. This one is very aptly titled Die, You Fucking Pig. Not bad, just one of the more noisier, less melodic, the right word. But I know, I don't know. What did you think of it?
I think it was a really punk influenced song, from the title to the sound to just the overall. Really, hell, even just the mastering of the song, the production value, it was very punk.
Yeah. But it's like, I guess growing up, what I really liked was like a lot of the Cali punk, more melodic punk. The sort of late 70s, early 80s, DIY, Washington, D.C., hardcore punk kind of stuff. I mean, I respected it, but it wasn't the easiest stuff to listen to. And so I think when I hear something that sounds like that, I tend to shy away from it. And that song was sort of in that vein.
Yeah. I admit, I was never a hardcore kid. The only change I pick up is out of parking lots.
All right, this is our last track. And then we'll go over the new spring-summer schedule that just came out today, hot off the presses. So this is Taman Shud. your fucking alley.
What are you trying to say, Mark? What, that it would do me? 7 minutes long? Because, you know, that really is exactly right up my alley. In fact, I would say that it is literally right beside my house if I lived in a city.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that was sort of not my thing. I thought I listened to a little bit of it. Yeah, obviously, I've listened to this record before, and I was sort of like, this is more Rob's thing. I'm tuning out. I'm presently in an argument with some of our fellow friends about Suicide Squad. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, why don't you give a good summation here of the album, and then we'll get into plugs and whatnot.
Well, first I'll start and say I'm impressed that we managed to do an entire album review in an hour, but it wasn't just an hour of us going, well, that was the same track as last one. Next. I'm really impressed with us.
We got through an entire Metal Hammer of Doom without the internet shutting off on me. that apparently was a one-time thing.
And we dug out of it without our usual, like, fucking late-night show 20-minute opening monologue.
Yeah, well...
We typically have, like, 30 minutes of us just bullshitting. And I mean, like, oh, yeah. People want to listen to us talk about metal.
Guys talking on the phone. Hi, how are you? How are the kids? Hey, what's going on? How's work?
Yeah, how are the cats? Oh, the cats are doing pretty good. But, we still have like an hour of overrun, I'm sure. That's a joke. Yeah, because the overrun is a joke. But, yeah, this Destroyer 666 album is totally awesome. If you can find it somewhere, like, I'm pretty sure we have a record store in Winston that I could buy this brand new from, and I'm really tempted to do so. Just to support it, like, at a full price. Because, gosh darn it, these guys deserve it. They are awesome. Not only do they have great musicianship, but they also have a guy named K.K. Warslut, who is their the leader of the band. So I really feel like
Warslut,
that.
K.K. Warslut, everyone. I want to say it again. Make sure people heard us. K.K. Warslut.
Yep. And they're Australian. So there's more things for you to love about them. Everybody loves Australians. You know, Paul Hogan, Hulk Hogan, and Steve Irwin. There you go. I used to get Paul Hogan and Hulk Hogan mixed up as a kid, but I didn't watch wrestling.
Interesting.
I mean, they're both big and blonde, and I didn't watch wrestling, so I had no idea. But anywho, yeah. This album actually offers a lot more of a different sound than you'd be expecting, because a lot of people buying this would probably be like, oh, boy, straight balls to the wall thrash. And while you are going to get a lot of that, you're also going to get some, like I said, some of that later Slayer melancholy. One of the songs here, I wanted to say it was Ode to Dionysus. I felt really had the creeping start of Slowly We Rot by Obituary, the original version, not the remake. The original version, so good. But it had that sort of a slow creep to it, and I just fucking loved it. Oh, made my day. Listen to it again. I might go do that after this podcast just because I'm that damn wonderful. But, yeah, just overall, it's a really good album, well worth an investment. I give it a fucking 9 out of 10. There you go. I loved it.
All right. Got distracted by something. Okay. So that's it. That is all we got for tonight. Abbreviated show, but, you know, the album was kind of short too, so that's okay. So again, this launches our Tuesday rebirth, at least for the foreseeable future. We may go back to Thursdays. We may not. It's really Cooper's show. He'll tell me when he wants to do a show. So that being said, now let's go over all the schedules that I picked, all the shows that I set up. First, let me say tomorrow we'll be reviewing Daredevil season 2 preview. Here's my thoughts. Meh. On Thursday, we'll be doing the In Defense of Man of Steel podcast. And then on Friday at 9 o'clock, Gavin will be doing his it's pre-recorded, just can't call in or anything, but you'll be able to hear Gavin's deconstruction of Man of Steel called The Case Against Man of Steel. He actually called it something else, but I retitled it, as I am wont to do. All right, so this Friday, in addition to Batman vs. Superman coming out, the new Amon Amarth comes out, Jom's Viking. Due to the change in schedule, we'll actually be able to do a timely review of it. So we'll be reviewing that this Tuesday, starting at 9 o'clock. The following day, we'll be reviewing Batman vs. Superman. And then Long Road to Ruin is back. That's staying on Thursdays, and it's got like a every couple of weeks schedule going. It's weird. But we'll be looking at the Dark Knight Returns animated movies. The following week, and then on Friday, Baby Metal comes out. And I'll be off to WrestleMania. On Tuesday, when we come back from Dallas, we'll be reviewing the new Baby Metal, Resistance. And then there's nothing else that week, as a matter of fact. No other podcast that week for me. The week after that, which is the 12th of April, we'll be reviewing Killswitch Engage's Incarnate. That already came out, but we haven't been able to get to it. So now with this change in schedule, we were able to do it a lot sooner than I had originally had planned. So go ahead and check that out. The week after that, we'll be reviewing the new Ministry side project, or the new Ministry rebirth project, whatever they're calling it, Surgical Meth Machine. That's April 19th at 9 o'clock. On the following day, we'll be reviewing the new Jungle Book live-action movie. And Long Road to Ruin will be back. We'll be looking at The Hunger Games Part 1. And then we'll be taking a week off. You know, so Cooper's got a bunch of shows in a row before we finally take a break on the 26th instead of going every other week or you know, every couple of weeks like we have been going. See, you made me change schedules. Now I'm going to make you work.
Well, you know, I won't complain too much, maybe.
But when we come back, May 3rd, we're coming back with an extra special show here, Rob Zombie, the Electric Warlock Acid Witch. Eh? Aren't you excited?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I had to throw my Rob Zombie yeah in there because he really does sound like a buzzsaw halfway through its cut.
Yeah.
There he goes. I love you.
I am the Ripper of Man. Yeah.
Like, I don't know who does more, him or James Hetfield.
Oh, they should have a yeah off.
Yeah. Like, I love James Hetfield, yeah. Because it makes my day.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. All right, so we'll see you all. For those of you tuning into our Daredevil review, see you tomorrow. For those of you tuning into the next Metal Armor of Doom, see you a week from now. For Mr. Robert Cooper, I bid you. What's my tagline again? Be well. Oh. Be safe. I got it. Be well. I had a bit of a brain fart there. Be well, be safe, and behave.